Welcome to PostStatus Draft, the official podcast for PostStatus, a website with news and information for WordPress professionals. Today, Joe and I discuss third-party editing apps, both mobile and desktop, and how they integrate with WordPress. If you enjoy this podcast, you can get a lot more quality news and analysis from the PostStatus Club multiple times per week. Check out the current club members, site partners, and join the club on our website at poststatus.com/club. You'll be joining almost 700 wonderful club members, and you'll never miss important WordPress news again. Today, I'd like to feature one of our partners, WP Migrate DB Pro. WP Migrate DB Pro makes moving and copying databases simple. They're also working on an exciting new project right now for merging databases called MergeBot. Go to mergebot.com for updates on that and deliciousbrains.com for information on Migrate DB Pro. And thanks to the team at Delicious Brains for being a PostStatus partner. Now, here's our show. Hey, everybody. I'm Brian, and I'm the editor of PostStatus.
And I'm Joe, a co-founder and the CTO of HumorMade, and welcome to the PostStatus Draft podcast. And today we're going to talk about various mobile apps and desktop apps and how they integrate or work with WordPress.
Yeah, so this is basically any third-party publishing experience, right?
Yeah, broadly speaking, I guess. I threw this suggestion into the mix a little while ago, so we've been kind of scrambling to see what that actually meant.
I was actually doing some research before you mentioned it, though, looking for editors or like Tiny Imp CE style or WYSIWYG editors that can be used either for standalone React apps or mobile apps. And you mentioned this, so it was good timing.
Cool. Obviously,
it's probably something that we've both been thinking about. You've been working on a mobile app of your own that integrates with WordPress. If people have not seen your WordCamp Europe talk, you talk about it there. It's called Vienna. It's on GitHub. But yeah, you've been working on refining that. So obviously this is on your mind.
I guess just different ways, I guess, that different apps allow, you know, to change the WordPress publishing experience, I'm quite interested in. What I'm kind of trying to do with the Vienna app really is just initially a proof of concept for both what is possible with the WordPress REST API and to have a mobile app that is philosophically only for, you know, WordPress sites, specifically WordPress.org sites, I guess. So it's just kind of somewhat of an experiment. And I'm kind of just chipping away at that, progressing where I can, trying to both implement things like all of the auth flows and things like that for the stuff that we're working on with the REST API, and also experiment with different ways of, for example, like uploading media from the mobile is something that is quite unique to that experience. So just different ways that can be achieved and easier than the desktop and things like that. So that's kind of why I kind of threw this topic out there, is because I guess like desktop and mobile apps that are native, that aren't built on the web, maybe can open up different paradigms for editing than currently exist as the WordPress admin. So I guess for that reason, thought we could probably just, you know, discuss tools that we've used or that we know of, I guess, that are providing different publishing experiences for WordPress sites.
Yeah, so I do want to get into the individual apps that we've either tried or researched. But before we do that, why don't we talk about the kind of history of how you would connect via third party to a WordPress website in order to publish with it. And at a high level, the oldest way is probably XML RPC. And at the next iteration of the way people might have connected was through the WordPress.com REST API or Jetpack, which has been around for several years. So some have gone that route. And the newest method would be through the WordPress REST API that is a feature project and not in core, but the infrastructure is in core, and newer app integrations like Vienna, but maybe a couple others, would utilize that REST API. Right.
And yeah, then, so the XML RPC one, which is, I guess, the lowest common denominator if you're going to want to connect to any website, which still is, you know, and I think it's been around, you know, must be getting on for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the most robust way, I guess, to still interface with a WordPress site, which is, I guess, unfortunate on one hand because it's really not an enjoyable developer experience to... one, have to work with XML and everything that goes with that, depending on, you know, the languages that you're using. And just the protocol itself is very old, and it's also using very basic plain text authentication. So, again, is considered fairly insecure, especially because the majority of WordPress sites are HTTP only. So there's like, a lot of problems with that. But because it's support on every website, then I think even, you know, some new apps that are coming out are still using that because, realistically, That's
how you get the market.
Exactly.
So let's start, I guess, with the official WordPress apps. So there are domains. So there's a make site. If you go to make.wordpress.org/mobile, and then there are individual websites at android.wordpress.org and ios.wordpress.org. And there used to be Windows and BlackBerry apps, which have been sunset. So now the ones that are officially being utilized are Android and iOS. And if you go to either of those, it actually redirects you to apps.wordpress.com/mobile, which is interesting. But it is automaticians that are doing the primary development on the official WordPress mobile apps. They're designed and released under WordPress.com style branding. They have full Jetpack integration with like stats and stuff. But they are the closest thing that we have to official WordPress projects.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they've gone under some recent changes kind of along with the Calypso release, or the desktop app for WordPress. So they now have fairly similar experiences between the desktop and mobile apps. But you were telling me a little bit ago, because I was trying to figure out to what degree they use the .com REST API for the WordPress mobile apps, and you told me how that works, which is fascinating. So do you want to talk about how they're connecting?
Yes, this is my fairly rudimentary understanding, is that when it, because there's, I guess there's a lot of features in the WordPress app that are specific to sites that are either on WordPress.com or sites that have Jetpack installed. So an example of that is the site stats feature, where you can view, you know, stats about people that have been visiting your site and which posts are most popular. So that feature is only available to either sites with Jetpack or WordPress.com sites. So when when the app is connecting to your site, then depending on, you know, whether that site is a WordPress.com site for one, or whether it's a WordPress.org site, or if it's a WordPress.org site with Jetpack, then I believe these three different methods, three different use cases, have different communication methods. So either you can communicate with a site directly that doesn't have Jetpack or anything installed. So that is going to use XML RPC to, you know, handle that, where you can read your posts and publish new posts, and I believe the same with comments and pages, and that's, I think that's pretty much all you're going to get out of the app, if that's all you have. If you have a WordPress self-hosted with Jetpack and you add that to the app, then your experience is, I'd say, a lot fuller because of that. So you get access to more features and things like that. In terms of like exactly technically how that works, I believe that it'll then connect to the Jetpack's API, but I could be wrong on that. It could be going through WordPress.com then to your Jetpack enable site, and then you have your WordPress.com blog, which, you know, is going to talk to the WordPress.com API, and that's kind of, I guess, like the most rich experience you're going to get of the app is when you connect it in that way. So I guess, you know, it's serving those three primary use cases. As like the WordPress.com UI changes and, you know, with the Calypso launch and the use case of WordPress.com, I guess maybe you could say, slightly diverged from what the WordPress.org one now is, just in terms of like how many custom post types and taxonomies and the things you're going to have, you know, are is not quite the same when you've got a customized WordPress site. So because of that, the app only supports normal posts, pages, and comments, so you don't get any of your custom WordPress types or anything. Because
you're limited basically to a what we would call traditional WordPress experience.
I guess so, yeah. And that is maybe you could call that a kind of WordPress consumer kind of level experience. Maybe like that's kind of like how the app feels to me. I guess is. For the usual WordPress case, I guess, or, you know, of just like, I just want to write something, have a blog, WordPress, found that easy to write, then the app is going to serve that. I guess because WordPress is used for such a broad variety of things, then all of those use cases are not applicable to the WordPress app in that regard.
Yeah. And actually, I have both Jetpack-enabled sites and a WordPress.com site on the iOS app, and those experiences are pretty much identical because Jetpack pretty much opens all the features of .com, but the things that are most valuable to me are kind of due to that connection, like being able to glance at your stats easily, and also the notification system on WordPress.com is pretty good, so it tells you like if your traffic is spiking or if you hit a certain number of follows, which I guess is a little random because it's kind of the little .com ecosystem. But if people comment and stuff like that, you can manage comments from the app. Those are kind of the things that I've always found relatively useful, more so than the actual writing concept. But if you're writing pretty simple stuff, then the .com apps are pretty good. If you're editing, it's nice. I'm prone to typos. There have been plenty of times where I publish something and then I, leave the house or whatever and find I have a typo that I can't stand to let stay there until I get home. So I'll go and I'll edit the post while I'm out. Those types of things I think the app is pretty good for.
Would you sooner use the app to fix that typo than log into the dashboard on your phone?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I find it, unless it's a different content type or like there's some, you know, functionality that I have on my website that .com or the iOS app doesn't support. But, you know, usually it's a public post and it's not
right.
Not hard to edit with the app. They are slowly adding additional stuff. Like recently they integrated user management, which I thought was interesting. So you can invite people to be users through the app now.
Oh, interesting. Maybe I don't have that version. Is that launched yet? You know?
Yeah, I think it's new. I got to give a shout out. Jeff Chandler wrote this on WP Tavern on just a few days ago. So
cool.
Yeah, it's the most recent version. They're on up to 6.4 now. So they're really moving forward with it. So one of the things with all of these apps, but you mentioned something else that's unique about the WordPress apps, and I think it's worth giving them a shout out for. The editor itself is always a big part of any writing experience of anything, but definitely once you get into writing for WordPress sites, you want to be able to do WordPressy things. So people are used to the visual editor with TinyMCE, but you can't just throw that into a mobile view per se. And we were talking about various mobile WYSIWYG options, and you said that actually WordPress or Automattic has rolled their own iOS editing tool, and it's basically the only good one out there. It's kind of the way it sounded. And
yeah, that's kind of what I was, you know, from a bit of research I've been doing for the Vienna app stuff, you know, a native iOS editor for you know, WYSIWYG for HTML editor. They're actually not that common on the web. There's a huge amount of them. But actually native implement ones, which is where you're going to get kind of the most smooth experience rather than chucking a web view in an iOS app. Then the WordPress mobile app one is a pretty good library. It is a, you know, I think it would be fair to say, you know, it's not perfect. It's kind of a little tricky to work with to pull it into another project because it's tied to a few WordPress.com specific things. But I think I might have linked to you. I found like a, I think mm-hmm. Wix have a repository where they've like taken that and put it into a React Native component. And presumably for some, you know, project internally or something.
Some Wix thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, credit where it's due there, that definitely seems to be one of the kind of better implementations for a rich text editor. Because, I mean, it's actually not a very common thing on your phone for when you're typing for when you're authoring content on your phone. Like a rich text editor isn't super common, you know. I think, you know, it's only really got into iOS in the past few years, really. Before that, everything was plain text. I don't even know if Safari does still, maybe it doesn't even support content editable right now.
Yeah, I don't know. But theirs is similar both on iOS and Android. It's kind of a equivalent of the basics that you get in TinyMCE, but on the bottom bar.
Right.
And it's pretty nice. I tested it right before we got on this call. I'd done it before, but not in a while. And most everything worked okay. The one beef that I had, which is probably either me not knowing how to use it or having a bug, but I couldn't break out of a block quote once I tried to do one. But everything else worked pretty well. And overall, I think it's pretty impressive. One of the things that I think is... it's new even to the visual editor within the desktop of WordPress. But I really love it is the text patterns, where it transforms kind of markdown style stuff into HTML as you're right. typing in the visual editor. So like if you do a asterisk, it'll turn it into a bullet point, that kind of thing. And to me, that's the nicest, probably the nicest way to edit in mobile as well. Because that's so fast. And so I've worked with some apps that do that, but not many. But I wonder if the text patterns that are in TinyMCE could kind of be transferred to a mobile app experience to go alongside maybe a visual editor. But anyway. Publishing, the editing experience is a very difficult part of any third-party editor or third-party app. And if you're trying to choose one, you're in this scenario where you're trying to balance the user interface, the editing experience, the thoroughness of the connection, if you're looking to publish straight to WordPress or something. And for a long time, really, the official WordPress apps have kind of been the only solid example in terms of mobile. Now, there was one that I can't even remember the name of it right now. Automattic actually acquired the company that made it, and they closed that app. So then it went back to just being the WordPress.com apps. Assuming... yeah, things continue. Yeah, it doesn't matter anymore.
It's true, actually. Well, we'll not get us anyway.
Assuming, you know, the REST API goes in or, you know, just as time goes on, there will be more mobile apps that connect through the REST API. We're seeing a little bit of that, too, with desktop apps. But we want to move forward with the podcast talking about some of the apps that are out there. Either through mobile or through desktop. But I would say so far, all the others that I have in my list, at least, are pretty much desktop driven. But theoretically, these should be able to be mobile as well in the future. Some of them, like if they decide they want to do a mobile app, it's more possible now than it was. And if the REST API endpoints go into core, then I think we'll see an explosion of mobile integrations personally. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I mean, that's
we're betting on that.
Betting a lot on that. I mean, I guess I don't know if now is the best kind of time to mention it, but I guess there's an apparent lack of apps integrating it quite a large way, or even in any way, really, with WordPress, given the ubiquity of WordPress. Anybody that's doing a writing experience app in terms of document management or some for writing or Google Docs or something like that. I guess you would kind of think that there's a lot of WordPress sites out there, so a lot of people are writing content for WordPress. A lot of people are copy and pasting content from other apps into WordPress rather than using the WordPress editor. So I would hazard a guess that if there were an easier way for apps to integrate with WordPress, then they could make that integration a lot more seamless than people probably copy and pasting and having difficulties with, bringing media with that and all of the kind of problems that go with that manual process. So I would, and it's very difficult to see without it being in core, whether you will get that kind of adoption. Because you definitely don't get it as a plugin. Just the logistics of that don't work for an app developer to build an integration for a WordPress plugin. Yep. So I guess unfortunately we can't run the test on that one without it probably just being in core and seeing. But I think in a for the WordPress project as a whole, I think when you look at like other examples in technology, when people open up their platform and provides APIs, it's usually a very good thing to spur, growth and innovation on that platform. So this is kind of one way that I think that could happen with the inclusion of the REST API is apps doing a lot more integrations directly with WordPress sites in more interesting ways. I don't know that for sure. And I'm not sure if there is a way to know that without really just doing it.
Yeah. And one of the annoying things is with the current apps, they're not really open source. There are not many of them, or any of them maybe, aside from like the actual WordPress one. But most of the third-party ones that you pay for, some of the ones in our list, we should just throw these out there now, and then we'll talk about them. But the ones I have written down in our shared show notes here are the Ulysses app, which I've done a review on, Desk PM, which is a Mac desktop app, Byword app, which is a pretty full-featured writing app with a WordPress integration. Windows Live Writer is one that we have on there. IA Writer has a WordPress integration, kind of. And then OneNote by Microsoft. There are several where they have Zapier connections. So OneNote, okay. Evernote, and is there another one? Maybe iWriter, I don't know, that you could use, like you could write in them and then have a sync through Zapier. Zapier does kind of open up the possibilities because they have, there's a Zapier plugin and then that enables webhooks. And then then it can connect to some of these apps. But that's not really, the same, but it's one way to go about it. So we really, unless you have some others, we really don't have a lot of examples, even of desktop apps that have a direct WordPress integration.
Yeah, and I think like most of the examples we do have, I think Mars Edit is a good one that's quite fully featured compared to a few of these. But the majority of them allow, it is a is an app where you can write things and you can also almost just kind of like share the thing that you're writing to your WordPress site. So it's not necessarily, two-way editing. You can't edit stuff later on. You can't manage your existing content. It's more of a, publish this thing that I've written to my WordPress site and send it off and it's done kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess I'm kind of not that surprised about, just knowing how tedious even doing that is with the current, options available to you, which is really... either WordPress.com is the only thing that you support and you use their API, or XMRPC using self-hosted. So I'm kind of like not that surprised that that's the only experience that you get when it's not really easy to do a lot of the other type stuff. So you're right. I think most of the integrations are fairly superficial. MarsEdit, the one I just mentioned, is a bit more fully fledged. You can add your site. You can like upload media, which is quite an important thing. Like the flow there is pretty good when, you know, uploading huge amount of files and the connection. If you're controlling the connection from a desktop app and you've written that very well, you can quite easily get a much better better experience there than people uploading through the web uploader and their connection goes down halfway through and it crashes everything, gives no retrying and stuff like that.
Does it handle inline media well as too?
So it
takes inline media and then uploads it to WordPress pretty well.
Yeah, exactly. So you're writing and you can insert media from your iPhoto library or whatever, and that will automatically push it up to your WordPress site, things like that.
There are several things that I just would be nervous to even try in these apps. I reviewed the Ulysses app and I liked it pretty well. It handled a lot of nice stuff like featured images, categories, tags. Even I think you might have been able to like assign your own custom fields. I can't remember. Where it kind of missed out for me would be I do my primary writing on a custom post type, because it's a private blog in addition to the main blog. And that would actually be a pretty arbitrary thing for them to put in, change the post type that it goes to, but they don't have that. But otherwise, it was a good writing experience. But there are still so many WordPress-y things. Like what if, you have a short code that you use all the time? Like what would happen if you stuck a short code in the content? Who knows? Or if you have like certain types of formatting, or does it merge, does it change the markup so that it's written in a WordPressy way? A lot of times I just don't know. I don't know exactly how.
Right. Yeah. Like if you publish something with Ulysses, but then you go edit it in your WordPress admin, if you if you're editing through TinyMC, then you're going to get the WordPress-ified paragraphs and things like that. So you've got potential there for some lossy kind of screws up your post thing.
And compare that, for example, to like what happens with Google Drive. Like a lot of people probably copy and paste straight out of a Google Doc. And if you do that, if listeners are aware, it's pretty miserable the markup that it adds. Unless you either run a script on it or go into a text editor and take it out. But like for me, it adds the paragraph tags with a class on them, and it puts pretty much every paragraph inside of a span that has a font weight. It's pretty frustrating. So what I do is I actually throw that into in my IDE, and then I do like a rejectified find and replace to remove all the spans, remove all the paragraphs and that kind of stuff. So if I have a guest post, I tell them that, go ahead and write it in Google Docs. That's fine. And then I'll go and I'll strip all that stuff out myself. So what I'm curious of, and I think Ulysses is fairly smart, but it can't be WordPressified in every way. Like take OEmbed, for example. You would have to put a YouTube URL in there and just know that it'll expand in WordPress. Or other things like that. And so it's really hard to predict. And for me, testing third-party writing apps really made me appreciate the visual editor. I don't know if that's something you run.
Yeah, no, I definitely get all of those concerns. And like every time you say any of that, I'm like, yeah, this is just like not an easily solvable problem. Like how do we make it so the way WordPress stores things as an HTML can be like interoperable in other editors and they can update it back and then you're not getting weird things. I mean, like the amount of complexity and unsolved problems we're hitting here is a huge amount, unfortunately. The kind of most recent thing I had to write in WordPress was where I wrote like the project handbook for a week of rest, which is a conference that we're putting on. It's like a handbook that takes step by step through all of every stage of the course that we're putting on, right? And it has like loads of code examples and stuff like that. because like there's probably, you know, I don't know, 5,000 or 6,000 words or something here spread across different pages. Like the thought of just like putting all of that into WordPress off the bat, seems like as soon as I've done that, I've like locked myself into WordPress because it's really not very interoperable there thereafter. You know, you've got to go edit your pages individually and I can't really edit that in a better way. So I wrote the whole thing in Markdown and then I wrote a small plugin for a WordPress that just like stripped out all of the HTML and everything. So all it has is everything is now stored in Markdown. And then when it renders on the front end, then I just have a filter to you know, transform the Markdown to HTML there. So I've essentially had to do away with every bell and whistle of, you know, the WordPress editor is now disabled, you know, shortcodes not using, O-embeds not using, all that kind of stuff. So to get that level of interoperability with Ulysses, which I'm using to edit it with Markdown, then I've had to sacrifice really a huge amount of WordPress functionality. Like for me, that's a trade-off that's worth it because I want content that is stored in a kind of reusable format, which I find Markdown to be much better for than HTML. But there's a huge amount of trade-offs that come with that, unfortunately.
Is it safe to say, though, that if someone is really accustomed to using something for at least note-taking or drafting a post, whether that's Ulysses or Byword or Evernote or whatever, either through these apps or a Zapier integration, it's at least not a bad way to draft stuff and get like 70 or 80% of the way there. But it's probably a long way off or maybe not really possible for advanced use cases to be able to fully format something through a third-party editor the way with all the information and details that you would do if in the main editor. Like,
yeah, it's going to like need a like let me log into the WordPress dashboard and make sure everything's okay before I hit publish kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the best you might be able to do would be, let's say Vienna turned into a open source, you know, flexible app that a news organization or somebody could take and make their own, and then their internal people use it, but you set it up in a way that they customize it to be a mirror of what they use with their CMS. And maybe that's worth it, or maybe it's not. You know, maybe you just introduce all the complexity of a web editor, so just use the web editor.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, exactly. Like, there's a few points that I'm struggling with on how this will work, you know, in the best way possible. One is that the WordPress data model is not rigid or predictable. And the REST API goes a long way with that, but not as long as far as it needs to. When we're talking about the editor, like the REST API is just giving you the raw content and the rendered content. So it's not helping you for really any of that massive blob of data there. So how, you know, I guess like the ultimate question is like, what is the point in building other tools that can provide a better experience than just using the WordPress admin, either on the mobile in responsive or whatever? And I think, you know, we've probably shown enough now across the industry over the past couple of years that you can build really nice experiences when you're using native tooling. And the same on phones with the direction that's gone in terms of the, you know, explosion of the App Store and things like that. So I think it's fairly hard to argue with the point that you can make more unique experiences in native form than you can for the web, which is kind of just maybe the unfortunate truth. But then how do we kind of like fit WordPress in such a way that you can do that end-to-end publishing that you're talking about, where you're not just, you know, it's convenient because I've got the, you know, my Ulysses editor open here, and it's just really quick for me to type, and the cognitive overhead of me creating a document in Ulysses is way, way less than logging into my WordPress site and going to the, you know, dashboard, clicking add new post, all of that. So it can get that bit for me, and then I can push a draft up to my site, and maybe it provides me with a link to edit it in WordPress or something. So that's like some of the way, but it's not quite far enough to be treating just like your WordPress site as a database for the app or something like that, which is kind of how far I would like it to be able to go. I think there's, you know, there's a lot of work to do there, and I'm not really sure of the solutions to all of those problems either.
So we agree that fitting the complicated experiences of WordPress into a third-party app is difficult, but I want to talk in a minute about the some of the catered use cases that we think would be, you know, really great opportunities, I guess, for mobile apps. Before we do that, I want to talk about something else that's interesting and complicated, which is our partner this week is Delicious Brains, who makes WP Migrate DB Pro. And y'all may know of WP Migrate DB Pro. It's been around for a long time, and it does beautiful database management and deployment services to help sync live and dev sites. What I want to talk about today, though, is a new product that they're working on that they just came out of.
Is this the merging?
Hiding.
Database merging?
Yeah, so they're working on something called MergeBot. You can go to mergebot.com with this, and it's database merging. And I'm sure Joe could plus one how complicated something like that is.
Yeah, definitely bitten off a lot there, which I'm eagerly kind of following along with.
Yeah, so database merging. It's complicated, but basically, imagine that you have a staging website and you are creating a new product for your company, and you have all these pages, maybe settings, some new plugins, things like that, that you're going to have to make live whenever you're done. But you know, you have to get all your internal approval and those types of things. So you do all this on a staging website that's not public. Everybody says okay. And it's a mix of things. It's, you know, it's files, it's database stuff, it's posts. Maybe it's a, you know, maybe it's a blog post plus your landing page. And what MergeBot allows you to do is once you go live, normally you would have this like 15-minute time of freaking out where you repeat all those processes and you scramble and you make it happen on the live site and then you, you know, make the announcement. MergeBot wants to make that deployment process part of the their product, part of a natural flow, so that you would merge the database from staging to live and not lose any of those things that you've been doing on your live site since you've been working on that new project. So any blog posts, comments, orders, this gets really important with e-commerce, all those things would be preserved on the live site, but all this new stuff that you did on the staging site of, you know, creating a new feature and whatnot, you can merge that, deploy it into the live site. So Delicious Brains is tackling that problem, which is pretty unbelievable to me. I've been wanting to see something like this for a long time. I am glad that they have the history of WP Migrate DB Pro and how difficult databases are. So like, I trust them a lot more than other people that might be tackling this. So yeah, I thought I'd use the partner spot this time to talk about MergeBot because they are getting close to releasing this. They're accepting some alpha tests and what stuff like that right now. But you can go to mergebot.com and you can sign up for updates. So yeah, that's Delicious Brains and MergeBot.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, I guess.
Oh yeah, me too. It's going to be fun. I hope it goes well. Yeah. They've been working on it for like a year. So I appreciate them being a PostStatus partner. Okay, so I want to talk about the potential for catered experiences with third-party apps. And I have one on my mind. I talked about this a little bit during my Word Sesh when it was about like the future of WordPress. And I mentioned how I really want WordPress or people's websites to be considered like their hub, like their online home, and mm-hmm. then it be the distribution point to go to other locations. Unfortunately, you know, WordPress isn't always a good experience for actually doing that. And I have an example. I would prefer, instead of, you know, uploading a picture to Instagram and toggling, hey, send this to Twitter, send this to Facebook, check me in on Foursquare, whatever. And Instagram is essentially operating as the hub where that's the source of information and I distribute it to these other places. I would like to do that from WordPress, where I have a really catered app for me uploading and sharing photos, for instance, mm-hmm. Or galleries of photos or whatever. And then instead of doing that out of Instagram, I start in a catered app just for me. And it's my WordPress install is the home of all of that. And then I have similar toggles to where I can send it to these other places. In my opinion, you could make a very opinionated mobile app where people use their own domain as their home base, and then you send it to these other places, and I think people would really use that. Do you agree?
Maybe or yes. So I understand what you're saying, right? You want a canonical place for your content, and you want to control that. Therefore, makes sense to have WordPress as that, push it to other places. Totally agree with that. I mean, you know, one of the problems is you take a photo and put it on Instagram and it suddenly becomes 600 pixels by 600 pixels, and no matter where else you send it, then it's this super low-res image. So yes, I see that. The bit that I'm skeptical of is if it's your hub for all of your stuff, and then all of your stuff can be syndicated to other places, then this app is going to need to be quite broad in its abilities to create different types of content, I guess. So presumably you would want both a way to add photos. Maybe it's kind of like a photo, is that way you can edit your photos as well. But then you might want also the same thing for, you know, different types of posts or a status update or something like that. So I guess I'm wondering, how does that, like, if you have all of your services, you know, Facebook, Swarm, whatever else, Instagram, all connected, I guess your app needs a way to author all those different types of content.
Yeah, I mean, I would keep it pretty limited, but in terms of, we were talking about all the formatting tricks that you would have to do, for instance. I would be down with one that was a little more opinionated, like the image upload function sets the featured image. It never goes in the content. It's just a data store for your featured image. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then maybe like you do the content is a status for apps that would accept such a status. And that's similar to how Instagram works now, or WordPress for that matter. I mean, Jetpack, for instance, has integrations for sharing to a lot of these platforms if you're publishing from the desktop or from the WordPress admin. You know, you can click to send it to Google Plus and Facebook and Twitter. I'm essentially saying I want to see this from my phone. So let's say there was a version of Vienna that was catered that way. I would love to be able to do that. And I don't know exactly how and where you would hook in, but theoretically, if over time at least, you could start to sync this with several other sources, but the canonical content would still be yours on your domain and your website. And for me, like if you went to my website, then you would, you know, see all my stuff right there rather than going to my website and you don't even see the last 2 weeks of activity that I haven't bothered to put on my own website, but it's on Instagram and Twitter and whatever else.
Right. Like it's funny you mentioned this, because it was only, I think, just before we started this podcast that I have this app, I think, that we discussed before. It's called Captured. You can just like screen grab any part of your screen and it can upload that image to like Imgur or other places. I thought it'd be cool if that had a WordPress integration, because then any of screen grabs that I did would go to my WordPress site and like I own that hosting or whatever. I own all of that data. I'm not sending it to like CloudUp or something like that. Like I don't really want to. I want to be the ones that own those, and you know, the links that are pointing to those, I control that domain and all that kind of stuff. So I guess that's another example of using, you know, WordPress to be a place just to own your data and then either send it elsewhere or just link to it as static files or whatever. I see like really a valuable thing that WordPress can be, not the only thing, but just being a hub for you to put all of your stuff in, you know, in the cloud is somewhere where you actually own it.
And I think what that can do is it can help segregate data ownership from network. And that way, you know, your network can be managed through Instagram, which they do very well. All your friending and even your messaging back and forth or whatever you do, that kind of stuff. But like, I really long for like that canonical home. And I do love the way Instagram does it. Instagram is probably my favorite social network from a pure user standpoint, because I upload an image and I can say, I want this one to go to Twitter. I want this one to go to Facebook. I want this one to go to neither. And I have a lot of flexibility with that. And I just imagine one where, you know, it's my website. And if I want to tweet, then I just toggle Twitter, but it's still on my blog. And I envision my blog as being like this place where you can go and you can see essentially right. All the stuff that I've chosen to distribute. And you can do such clever things too, because if you store, say, like which one you share it to as a taxonomy. So that way, when you go to your website, you can essentially filter based on, you know, tweets and Instagram and whatever else. And like the sharing source, those are terms within that taxonomy. There's so many cool things that I think you could do, and it would be very powerful, and it would make for a much more exciting online presence, in my opinion. Mm.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think like it's a, to me, it's a use case of like, or it's more around, you know, data ownership and things like that, which I think is probably important to me and you, whether that is the next super popular, consumer app.
It might be difficult to communicate why it's important. But right. Wouldn't it be less difficult to communicate why it's important if you get into like, I mean, some of the controversies around social networks, their decisions that they make or their decisions to, like whether it's removing content, deleting accounts, like that journalist that the Olympics shut down, or the Twitter shut down his Twitter account because he shared like one GIF from the Olympics.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a platform there to play off of, right? Because there is a large-ish, but still minority, I guess, of people that are that concerned about this. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like compared to the people that don't care, then the group that do, I think, is still quite small. But it doesn't mean like I can definitely see this use case being big enough to warrant building something for.
So what I'm defining here is a much more opinionated content creation experience, where all the complexity is in where and how you connect, but that should all be the app's problem. Whereas the user interface, I can imagine being extremely simple.
And that's like the whole, like without that, then there's not really any point in doing any of this, right? It's like almost a generic WordPress app, which, you know, is what I'm kind of experimenting with Vienna, is almost like a non-starter because it's just too broad and you're never going to be able to, like, I worry that it's just impossible to provide a compelling experience to enough people because that's something that, frankly, I don't really think the current WordPress apps are doing. And I'm not sure if it is possible given the broad uses for WordPress. So your use case, which could be very opinionated about creating very, like, I guess, small pieces of content which you're sharing to different places. One that I've always been quite interested in is like a completely native app that made it super easy to write a live blog or something like that. So you could just snap photos and literally as soon as you took a photo, it would upload it to your WordPress. Like, there was no process of like going through a wizard.
You wouldn't even publish it.
Right, exactly. You just like take the photo and that would be done, and you'd like write a message and that would also go up. So like that's a very streamlined experience, which is, you know.
Would then, that be for photos from within the app, or would that just be photos from your phone? Because it can get feisty.
That would be like
a photo, boom, it's on the web.
No, that would be like if you're live blogging an event, then you have the app open, and anything do like in the app, like taking a photo, or a video, or writing a quick message, is like a really low friction way to get stuff up onto your WordPress site. Because right now we don't have a good experience for that.
And that could be a different app. It doesn't even have to be the same app as the one I'm talking about. The one I'm talking about could be called Life Journal or something, and the one you're talking about could be called Live Blog. And the one huge advantage WordPress has is being essentially the de facto content management system, and it's so dominant on the web that there is a market for requiring WordPress, essentially.
Right.
If other platforms want to be integrated, that's fine. But someone would have plenty of potential, customers limiting it to WordPress.
I mean, if you're talking about journalistic tools or something like that as well, then I think, you know, that percentage shoots up because...
WordPress is dominant.
Right, exactly. So I see that. That's why I guess like it's necessary for there to be a WordPress app, which is a generic client, I'm sure. I just see all of the interesting things that can probably be done around, you know, much more lightweight, innovative kind of ideas of different publishing flows, management flows, stuff like that. A little bit like we talked about, a month or two ago, with doing that via the REST API on the desktop with different React experiences. I just see that there could be a lot of similar things for, native apps, I guess, that are just trying to solve one use case. And just because of the ubiquity of WordPress, that is kind of the best thing to use as your backend for building whatever that idea of yours is.
Yeah. The closest thing I know of that, and I haven't used this app, but I know some people love it. But the closest thing I know of is actually Telegram, probably. Mm-hmm. And Telegram is open source, and I think there are integrations to kind of sync this through WordPress somehow, but it's got chat and status type of stuff in it as well, and they have apps for everything. But I'm thinking even more catered than this, and I'd love to see people experiment with that type of stuff. I can't imagine that really being easy to do unless someone is willing to do it with the REST API. But it'd be fascinating. It'd be fascinating to see. Like, what if the plugin ecosystem tied into some of these apps? So, like, when someone releases a new product, it includes the mobile app and a plugin. Mm-hmm. Say if it's highly catered types of content, for instance. So if it's our live blog scenario, maybe the live blogs are not part of a blog post. Maybe it's its own custom post type. So you need a plugin in addition to it. But there's so many interesting things that you could do. Like maybe the app itself, after you do authentication with your website, has the power to install the plugin for you. I think there's so many cool things. There's so much potential here. And that's where I really think some of the future of WordPress could go. And really pick up a step in terms of not having to fight this, like, oh, are apps going to win or is the web going to win? They should be working hand in hand. I'm curious, do you think this is like a really significant challenge, or do you think from a technology standpoint, like get outside the marketing and the user flows, which I think would be challenging and, require a lot of the same type of efforts that you see in apps today. But do you think from a technical standpoint, this is pretty doable?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I've spent the last year or so trying to kind of build out the tools around that. And I don't see that as significant at all. I think the more I'm thinking about it recently, the more kind of bad I see WordPress is as being a component in a larger game, really. Like, the majority of WordPress growth up to this point has been people creating WordPress sites to do what WordPress does. And I think to get to the next level of usage, which, maybe you're talking around the 50% of websites kind of mark, I feel like you're really going to need to open that experience up to the development community to take that. Just, I guess, like Apple did with the iPhone and opening up SDKs for people to write apps. I really see this as I really see the REST API as a way for people to start writing WordPress apps. And I don't see that that is really possible without that, given the current tooling. So there's certainly... There are technical challenges to get over, right? We've got to write a WordPress REST API. We've got to get that into core. We've got to solve the authentication problem. We've got to, solve the security implications that go with that, how to deal with bad actors that are stored on a lot of sites. But all of those things, I think, are achievable. Broadly, I have in my mind, solutions I would propose to those things. So I'm not so much worried about the technical limitations. I'm more worried skeptical of whether that will be embraced to such an extent that I think that it could be, when we're talking about having apps that use WordPress as a requirement, but maybe on what we think of WordPress today, you know, which is just like you log into your WP admin, you go and edit a post and publish it. But instead, we're maybe seeing it as just a content repository that a lot of different apps can use. But you know, get to own that data because you get to host it wherever you want and that kind of thing. Whether that will come to exist, I don't think is because of technical limitations. Either it will be because, you know, that is maybe just our idea of that being a good one is just way off base and it just doesn't make sense and people aren't excited about doing that. Or it could be, you know, obviously one of my concerns is the WordPress project leadership doesn't have that vision. So maybe it doesn't come around because of that reason. So there's a few hurdles there. I just don't really see the technology being that major hurdle.
Mm-hmm. I guess one other thing that could also limit this is we're kind of basing WordPress being able to be that hub on the fact that media and content creation from a mobile device stays relatively sane, like status updates and images, right, and links. I think one example of something that could make that more difficult would be some of the stuff like Snapchat is doing, where you have like face filters or something. So in that scenario, essentially you'd have to save the creation from some app that may not have a WordPress link and probably is not inclined to have a WordPress link. And you would have to essentially upload that through the WordPress one as a video or something like that. Because the face filter feature, unless it's built into an iPhone or an Android phone, then it's going to be difficult or impossible to do without a whole lot of work or whatever to try to mirror features that are in social apps. And if social apps continue to evolve and get weirder,
then the Brian Oldman view on social web.
But, you know, I'm thinking of things like, what is it, Boomerang? Like,
yeah,
you know, these just introduce like new media types in a way that,
right. Be... When I think if we're, I guess it depends. You know, how big is your vision for WordPress and what WordPress can be? Like, can it become more generic in the different things that it can store? Is one way to look at that, or do we kind of, in our discussion of WordPress, keep just narrowing it down to like, well, let's be honest, we've only got custom post types, so anything that we can think of needs to fit into a MySQL database that is following these kind of broad layout. And when you have something like Snapchat, which is like a post that can last for 10 seconds, like some of these things maybe don't map well to what WordPress can do, even in just in terms of storing its content. And then on top of that, I think you have the issue of a lot of these social platforms don't want to be interoperable. Twitter, for example, doesn't allow you to save your tweets anywhere. Now, doing it the way we're talking about, I think would be fine because you'd be sent to your site and then it would go to Twitter.
That's why, to me, WordPress is important as the origin site.
Right. But whether...
It's more difficult if you're trying to... you know, do a face filter or a face swap.
Exactly. And those apps may not want to allow you to even do that because unfortunately their motives are different to, you know, we want everybody to own their data and be able to check out of our platform whenever they want. So there's that to battle with as well. But again, whether, you know, I think it's difficult to say, you know, which is going to win out in the long run there. I think it's been a battle for, you know, the past 20 odd years around people's data and things like that. So I don't know exactly where that's going to kind of pan out for the longer term, I guess, as well.
And there will always be a degree of power in the basics, you know, like people will always want the functionality of text and video and images and multiple images that are all relatively straightforward and within even the current WordPress capabilities.
Right.
You know, WordPress doesn't, we don't have to be on top of every little thing and every little idea. But generally having the ability to be that hub, I think would increase WordPress's relevance for the long term. Because there's a lot of pressure to just essentially go all in on some network and let that be that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Cool. Well, I would, we might have to make it another day. We have a whole list of like editors like TinyMCE and Quill and Draft.js and the WordPress editor for iOS that we were going to talk about. But I think we're at a pretty good stopping point.
To save those for another day.
Save those for another day and just let today be all about, you know, the publishing opportunities that are out there. I think my final note would just be, if you haven't been in the visual editor in a while, like there's a lot of cool things it can do. And, you know, don't take that for granted. When Joe and I were looking at some of the editing possibilities, like some of the tools that are out there that we didn't get into yet today, it really makes me appreciate the kind of customized TinyMCE that's been created within WordPress, especially when you get into things like the text shortcuts, the paste a link over a highlighted word, like stuff like that is pretty cool, the way WordPress handles it. So, don't take WordPress for granted. And I guess that also kind of highlights one option that's always there is just the login on mobile to your WordPress site and use that. But you know, the experience of doing that has to get better too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Where can people catch you, Joe?
They can find me on Twitter, Joe_Hoyle. Not many tweets this week, a couple of retweets, that was all. So can't promise a huge amount for the next week, but you know.
Yeah. Well, as usual, I've got too many tweets, at Krogsgaard. And if you enjoy the podcast, rate us 5 stars on iTunes and send us a note that you did so. Tweet one of us or post at us or whatever. And let us know that you rated it 5 stars, and we will read it out on the air. If you don't tell us, we don't know about it because they don't send us notifications.
and you have to check every country individually.
Every country. And I'm not doing that. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Thanks.